Hi there, this is Dennis Volko with Out Bureau. You're listening to Out Bureau Voices, and this is a new format that I hope you'll enjoy. We're going to be bringing on various professionals to have short takes or chats about specific topics for short video and audio length. And today we are yet again speaking with Dr. Kelly. We're going to be covering some very important information as it regards to wills. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kelly.
Thanks so much, Dennis. Thanks for having me.
Well, awesome. We had a great conversation on single parent adoption, and we're going to link that up here, over here in the cards, and have links below. And today you brought up, we're going to be chatting about, as I mentioned, wills. And so, it seems like kind of a boring topic, right? But I get the importance, but I know you're going to cover the importance so much better than I could.
It is a boring topic. And more so than being boring, it actually is taboo for a lot of people. People just do not like to talk about end of life issues. But one of the things that I find is so important about it is that as you kind of talk about your wills, your estate planning for end of life, it actually helps you to crystallize your estate and financial planning while you're living. So it makes you answer some questions that are going to be really important for, the time that you do have here with your loved ones. And so I think that people are surprised once they kind of get into it, that it really doesn't feel as kind of icky as folks might assume before going in. And I actually, let's jump right in and just talk a little bit about, what a will is. And I actually would like to bring in some, conversation about some of the other estate planning documents that are equally as important as the will. So, estate planning overall, which is kind of thinking through what it is that might happen to our stuff, right? When we pass away, that's the overall, what might happen to us, what might happen with our children. It is the process of really thinking it through so that it can be not the burden on your family and your friends that it might otherwise be if you weren't involved in it ahead of time. And so, one of the things that we say is that your will is your last love letter to your family, because it really lays out exactly what your wishes are for the distribution of your assets so that folks don't have to have a care about it. And, unfortunately, particularly within LGBTQ communities, sometimes because of the contentious nature of our relationships and our families and our relationship to people who don't approve, of our lifestyles, things can get quite contentious, when we're gone. So let's just talk a little bit about wills in general. And I will just recognize again, as you stated, I am not an attorney, but I love educating people on this information. So everything that I'm going to talk about with your particular personal situation, you should check in with an attorney about all of this. So with regard to your wills and estates, again, every state is going to have a slightly different set of rules. And so it's also important that you understand what the rules are in your state. If you were to pass away without a will, the state is just going to step in and it has a one-size-fits-all category for how to distribute your assets. Sometimes those assets can go to surviving spouses if there's a legal marriage. It might go to parents. It might go down to children. In some states, if there are no children and parents are already gone, your estate might go as far as aunts and uncles and even cousins. It's conceivable that your estate could go to folks that you don't even know, right? So important for us to have this in place because it allows us to designate how we want those to be distributed.
And so, if I could interject, sure. That's called probate.
Yes, so, it is called probate.
And there can be probate taxes on those distributions, and correct me if I'm wrong, and or seek your own legal advice. But what I understand is that, one, it can take quite a while So it could take 8 months, a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years. Sometimes there's things that maybe you don't have any survivors and you wanted everything to be liquidated and donated to charity. Well, the court's not going to do that, right? All of your assets could be locked up in probate. And it's just more of a legal hassle for all your loved ones if you don't have a will, because now they have this battle. And let me tell you, for a while, for about 3 years, I ran an estate sale business. So that is where I would go in and liquidate the contents of homes for any reason. It was in Columbus, Ohio, and often it was downsizing sales or moving sales, but because they then wanted to come where I now live in Florida. But so many times they were doing these estate sales because they were in probate and they had to liquidate everything. So that cherished item, that family heirloom that's been passed down to you, you know, three or four generations, now it cannot legally be distributed to any of your other family members. It may have to be liquidated.
Yes.
And let me tell you, honeys, when someone passes away, the ugliness comes out, the greed, sometimes I would have family members, because after I had priced things based on my research, all of a sudden things would go missing because they would come in if they still had keys, because they were taking, you know, they were a caregiver of grandma and they still had keys to the home. And I would photograph the tables as I was setting up and pricing. And then, of course, high value items that they didn't know were high value items would all of a sudden go missing. So, you know, and when you do a will, for the vast majority, if not everything, you can completely bypass probate court and have things in whole distributed and not being reduced by a probate tax. You might have inheritance tax, but if you go through probate, you're going to have the probate court cost, you're going to have the probate taxes, and you're going to have inheritance tax. Okay. So if you want the vast majority of your wealth and your assets to actually be distributed in a timely manner to those loved ones left behind, you need a will.
That is exactly right. And I just might add that having a will doesn't necessarily prevent you from going through probate. It really depends on your state, right? So in some states, even with the will, you're going to go through that probate process, but it is going to be a lot faster. Why is that? But what does probate actually mean? Let's break it open a little bit for folks. It basically just means that we're going before a judge, right? And the judge is going to be the person who okays the distribution of your assets. So if there is no will in place, the judge now has to do all of the research, has to hear from all of the friends and family about what they thought your wishes might be, and then come to some kind of determination. I've talked with families who've been in probate for 8 years, right? That's a long time of people bickering back and forth, trying to convince the judge of what it is that you wanted. Versus with a will, even if you're going through probate, the judge can look at this document and you've done your due diligence and made sure that it's up to date. Your signature on your will should really be no more than 2 years old, because again, someone could come and say, oh, I'm sure she changed her mind, right? So if my signature is like fresh ink from, you know, 2021, nobody's coming in to be able to do that. And the judge can simply say, I've read through this. It makes sense. This is how we're going to do it. And so even if you're in one of those states where you're still going through probate, it's going to be a much quicker, much less dense process. So let's talk about what the will actually does. It distributes your assets upon your death based on what you've decided. It also designates guardians for minor children if you should still have minor children, right? And as I said, every 2 years or so, you want to have a fresh signature. So getting your will updated on a regular basis is important, even if things haven't changed in your life. Obviously, you have a new child, you purchased a new home, you've got a new grandchild, you know, things have changed, you've moved to a different state. You've gotten divorced. These are all reasons to update your will. But even if nothing has changed, just get it updated so you can have a fresh signature in case something happens. People can't swoop in and say, oh, she changed her mind. Now, if you believe that, let me actually back up. I have one thing to say to those folks who think they don't have any assets, because there are lots of people who are renting, so they don't own a home. There are lots of people, particularly due to COVID, whose lifestyles have kind of downsized, right? We don't necessarily have a lot of money in the bank. You still should have a will, and I'll tell you why. A couple of reasons. First of all, Dennis, you've already talked about it. That family heirloom, the thing that everybody is going to fight over, the thing that, you know, somebody said that they wanted, it's important. It may not have any value to the rest of the world, but it's going to have a value to a member of your family. Making sure that you designate who you want it to go to so that there's none of that fighting and bickering at the end makes good sense. The other thing is that we don't know how we're leaving here. Some of us are going to go due to the negligence of someone else, whether that's in an automobile accident, whether that's at the hospital due to some error that the hospital or doctors made. You might, your estate might actually be the beneficiary of a payout of a wrongful death suit, right? So today you may have $50 in the bank, but tomorrow your estate might have a $50,000 payout because of an automobile accident where someone else was negligible. Now there's money that needs to be distributed and you've left it to the state with its one size fits all approach, right? So it's just important for us to designate that. The other thing too is if you have minor children, you must have a will. Please do not leave your children to the kind of mercy of the court to decide, especially if you know that your family has not been supportive of your identity and your family structure, because I've seen it before where even if you thought your family, I have a very dear friend who had this happen to him. His partner passed away. The family swooped in, took the house, exited him from his own home, right? Because the home was in his partner's name. And throughout our entire relationship, the family had always been loving, had always been courteous, had always been kind to him. What he realized after this incident was that the family was doing that because of their son. And once the son was gone, they felt no obligation to continue that loving relationship with the partner, right? And so he lost everything. And so having those things designated, had there been a will in place that said this house is going to my partner, the family would not have been able to swoop in and do that. So it's so important, especially if we think that our family might contest a will or try to come after the children and not allow our children to stay with our partner.
Yeah. And what I would add is assume it.
Yes.
Don't even, you know, be like, well, I don't think they're going to be like that. No, assume it. Have everything clear. And, you know, it's just like that in business, right? You need to have documents set up ahead of time to know, you know, this might be a great initial relationship, even in a business relationship, but you need to have down on paper. And I'm a prior contracts manager, a certified contracts manager. So my contracts are very thorough. And, you know, they say, if we break up, not if we pass away, but if we break up from our business relationship, this is what is going to happen. And detailing that all ahead of time, because right now it might seem all rosy and all lovey-dovey, just like in this, in that situation with the example that you just gave about that family. And go back to my explanation of doing the estate sales. When someone passes away, they're not, 99% of the time, they don't act like they acted before. They're going to be in a temporary, momentary insanity. They also have just lost someone, okay? They lost a brother, they lost a son, they lost a daughter, or, you know, whatever. And they go nuts. So having all of the proper documentation like those wills in place ahead of time, because as you pointed out, you don't know. I could be pulling out of my neighborhood this afternoon and get hit by a bus. I know that's a cliche, but it's true. And if you're walking around Wilton Manors, crossing the streets back and forth, many people have been killed. They've had a couple cocktails. They don't want to go to the crosswalk. So they cross over and bam, it happens. And I really love your point about just because you only have $50 in your bank account today, under a wrongful death of whatever kind, there could be an award coming into that. I was very pleased because that was on my brain. So I'm so pleased to hear you say that. So are there any differences between, you know, having a will that when you're single versus a couple?
Yes, I want to actually talk a little bit about that. So if you are particularly an unmarried couple, we hate to kind of treat our relationship like a business, but unfortunately, that's what it is. We get married because we're in love, right? We fall in love with someone and we create a home. What we don't remember is that the act of getting married creates a legal relationship. And if you've decided, we've lots of folks in the LGBTQ community have decided not to take advantage of marriage equality for whatever reason, which is fine. But if that's the case, we want to make sure that these wills are in place for you. Even if you're a married couple, you still need a will. So even if you're married, please get it done. Let's think about, though, if you are a single person, right? You have no spouse that would legally inherit. You have maybe you do have children, maybe you don't have children. I want to specifically talk right now to older LGBTQ folks. Those of us who are over 50, so important for us, especially if we're single, to have our wills and our other estate planning done. We are twice as likely to be single and to live alone as we're aging right now. So think about that Stonewall generation. We are four times less likely to have adult children who can participate in our care as we age. And so for us, oftentimes we have that family of choice that we've built around us, and all of them kind of know what our wishes are, right? Because we've talked about it. You know, we get to a certain age, you're in your 60s, and you've talked about it with your friends, but none of them have a legal ability to carry out any of the wishes that they know that you have. And so having your will done is very important, but also having your other estate planning done. And so that's your financial power of attorney, your medical power of attorney or healthcare proxy, and your living will. Those give folks the legal responsibility and opportunity to step in to support you if you should be incapacitated. So the financial power of attorney will allow people to continue to pay your bills on your behalf, right? We people found that out during COVID. Folks went into the hospital for 3 or 4 weeks, right? And what happens to your good credit while you're incapacitated? So you want to have somebody be able to pay your bills if you're incapacitated. You want to have someone who knows your medical wishes to be able to have the right to speak to doctors on your behalf because you don't have a spouse, right, who's able to do that. And you want to make sure that your living will is done. So that end of life decision, what is it that you would have wanted? I know that we've talked to our friends about it, but our friends can say nothing to a doctor on our behalf unless we have those things in place. One other thing that I really wanted to mention while we're on this topic, actually there are a couple of things, but one thing that I've seen that also breaks my heart is when our families, for whatever reason, and this is specifically I think more of an issue for single folks, when our families don't respect who we are in death, right? I've had one too many funerals, particularly with my trans friends, where I've gone and because their family has been in charge, they were not buried as the person that I knew, right? They were buried as the gender that they were assigned at birth. Whoa. It is a horrible feeling to sit there and watch.
Oh my God, right? Oh, you just hit me hard on that one. That's a tough one. And just really strongly illustrates the need for planning in the LGBT community.
Exactly. And so many people think that our end of life wishes are contained in our will. They typically are not. And this might depend again on your state. I know here in New York, where I am, there's actually a separate state form that you fill out that indicates your end of life wishes. Like, this is how I would like for my remains to, the disposition of my remains. And so that can be, this is the name that you will use for me. This is the religious practice that I will use for me. Some folks have switched religions and they want to make sure that their family will respect that, right? This is how I would like to be treated. This is where I'd like to be buried. Do I want to be cremated? All of those kinds of decisions. But to specifically outline, especially when you don't have a spouse who will be the person who is able to make all of those decisions based on what they know that you want, it's so important to outline that and to have it with your other paperwork. Because the will is often read much after a funeral, right? And so the will is not the place to put it because people may not see it at the time that they need in order to make those arrangements.
So if I could interject, you brought up a good thing though, but if you don't have that, especially if you're not, in a relationship married, but you know what? I would kind of say, because again, I know all too well that families get weird. It's just a good practice just to have it, regardless. If you're married, even if you're married, just have it. That way, if a religious right-wing family comes along and that spouse can then produce that document, it shuts it down right there, And because they might go, oh, you don't know what he wanted or you don't know what she wanted. I don't care that you've been married. We're the parents and we're going to respect our God and our evangelical faith. And
Dennis, right? You're so right.
But if it's there, it's a legal document and that'll just shut them down. Right?
Yes. That is such a great
thing. This is such great information. I mean, you're bringing up so many great points for the community. And I know you have a couple other points that you'd like to share with us.
Yes. So let's think about some what I might call loose ends, right? There are things that we really should also consider. One of the things to know is that your contractual beneficiary designation, so your 401k, your IRA, your health, your life insurance, all of those you have had a contractual beneficiary put into. That is going to supersede what's in your will, right? So with regard to contracts, whatever beneficiary is on that contract is going to be what they pay out to. It's really important for us to think, 15 years ago when I first started that IRA, who did I put as the beneficiary? And do I still want them to be the beneficiary right now? We might not even be together anymore, right? You're not been together, doesn't matter. Company is paying it out to who you designated. So important to think those things through. Another loose end that I think people will be maybe even shocked at is, what did you do before marriage equality was the law of the land? So before 2015, LGBTQ couples could get married in several states. I have a personal, couple friend that got married four different times. They got married, I think, in Massachusetts when it could happen. They actually went up to Canada when that could happen. I think that they got married when we could get married in New York State. And then one other time, I don't know. They went to Hawaii or something, right? So there was a patchwork of marriage marriage opportunity before we had the Obergefell Supreme Court decision in 2015. Now, if you took advantage of getting married in Vermont, right, but then you moved to Ohio, where there wasn't marriage equality, and you broke up, and you assumed, well, we're not really married in Ohio anyway. Right? You don't know what may have happened to that contractual obligation, because that's what marriage does. Again, remember, it's a legal contractual obligation. There were some states when marriage equality came along that just extended those marriages, you know, throughout the land. So, you know, in 2014, you may not have been married in Ohio, but in 2016, you may actually have been married in Ohio and not thought about it again. We have folks who are walking around today who are married to folks that they don't realize that they're married to. We actually have some states that actually extended their civil unions, because there were some states who did that, into marriages when marriage equality happened. So again, there may be some people who were walking around who had a civil union and didn't think much of it because it was kind of an interesting, weird, you know, kind of gray space to be in, who now are fully legally married, but have no idea that that was the case for their particular state. And so as you're thinking about your end of life decisions, distribution of assets, it's really important for you to kind of think back, what were my actions before 2015? And are there some loose ends that I need to clean up from those relationships, particularly if you are no longer in those relationships? And even if you are in those relationships, as you say, it's important to understand where you are today so that you can plan for the future.
Yeah, you know what, as you were talking about that and your friends being married in, you know, four different locations, that's complicated, because do they need to legally divorce in three of those states to simplify their law, their end of life and everything else? Because what if they divorce in their current state where they got married, but hold on, you are actually married in three other locations. No, you're not divorced. You got to possibly divorce in all of those locations, right? Yes. That's why this is so important to have, you know, the actual licensed attorneys and legal folks who can help clarify this. Yes. And so having also with your vast network of attorneys that you represent, being able to have licensed attorneys in family law attorneys in each of those locations.
Exactly.
That's because if, you know, like I'm in Florida, if I happen to have gone down that route with your friends, who both is amazing and a little cray cray, you know, if they were here, you know, dealing with a family lawyer here in Florida, they only may know Florida family law.
Exactly.
Then they're going to have
our network, they would be able to speak with attorneys in every state, including Canada. Yeah. And I will say, remember how it was before marriage equality. And I know the young folks have no idea what we're talking about, but people were fanatical, right?
Yeah they were
making a political statement.
Yeah.
And they were going to do this every place and every time they could to prove a point. And so, yeah, I mean, and good for them, right? But now...
It's complicated.
You have to remember that these things actually have real consequences. Mm-hmm. You know, those folks who, and you know, cishet folks do this all the time as well, where they will separate but never divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've had people call me up who want to connect to our attorneys who are, you know, again, facing these end of life decisions, getting ready to do their estate planning. And they remember that, oh, wow, we've still not gotten divorced. And I don't know what's going to happen to the house because we actually still have a legal contract with each other. So it's not just an LGBTQ issue, but ours tend to be kind of infinitely more complicated because there's so many more layers often.
Yeah. And you know, another thing that just hit my brain, so I have to share it, like example with your friends with the four marriages, if they did just divorce in one of the locations and think that there's no longer any legal connections when there are. Now, if they don't realize that, they separate, they divorce in that one state, they separate, they one of them finds someone new, mm-hmm. wants to get married, and maybe that state doesn't, you know, do a record check, right? They're now a polygamist, mm-hmm. because they're married to more than one person.
Yep.
That's like crazy. OMG.
It can be very complicated for us. And then, you know, this is what the fight for marriage equality was all about, right? Giving us the opportunity to just do it like everybody else so that we don't have to have all of these kind of crazy layers to go through. So, you know, thank the heavens that, you know, Obergefell, you know, went in our direction in 2015. So recent couples don't have to go through this. But it's so important if you were one of those folks kind of on the fighting lines before 2015, that you stop and think about what loose ends you might have.
Oh, great. Great. Wow. Interesting and enlightening conversation as I'm learning always happens with you.
Thanks so much, Dennis.
Well, is there any other last points? I don't know if we've covered everything.
No, I think we've covered everything that I wanted to talk
about. Wow. Well, thank you so much for coming on again. And I'll look forward to our next conversation. And everyone down below, if this didn't bring up questions or comments, I don't know what will. Okay. So please, if you would, go ahead and put in what was some of the points that maybe you didn't know. Go ahead and let us know about that down in the comments below on whichever website or application that you're listening to. We would love to know that this was useful for you. And if you have questions, please again, put those down below. And of course, you can also always join outbureau.com. After you complete at least 30% of your profile, it will unlock all of the site features, including joining groups. And there is an outlaw group. And you can then directly connect with Dr. Kelly and send her questions and so forth as well that you might have. We would love to see you there. Again, thank you everyone so much for joining us today. I'm Dennis Voco with Out Bureau. Bye-bye.